Hey, Katra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI.
Welcome back, everyone.
Today, we're doing a deep dive into something fascinating. We're basically looking under the hood of the human mind.
That's a great way to frame it. Yeah, our source today is Shankar Vedantam's really important book, The Hidden Brain, The Science of Human Behavior.
Right. And if you've ever found yourself wondering, you know, why do I do things that don't make sense? Or why do people around me act, well, irrationally?
Then this conversation is definitely for you. We're trying to get at a core question of Vedantam tackles. Why do smart, well-meaning people so often act against their own values or make choices that seem completely illogical?
Yeah, what's going on there?
The whole idea is honestly pretty mind-bending. It suggests that most of what drives us, our decisions, feelings, even our beliefs, comes from this powerful unconscious engine.
The hidden brain.
Exactly. Well, the hidden brain, something we barely even notice.
It's like, if you want the real story on human behavior, this is the shortcut. Forget the tip of the iceberg.
We're going deep underwater into that massive unseen part that influences, well, almost everything. Who you trust, what you fear.
Okay, let's get into it. Let's unpack this hidden force.
So first, maybe a word about the author, Shankar Vedantam.
Good idea.
He's an award-winning journalist, obviously well-known now for the Hidden Brain podcast on NPR. Super popular.
Right. Millions listen to that. But what's key here, and you touched on this, is his role. He's not the neuroscientist doing the experiment.
No, he's more of a master synthesizer and a storyteller.
That's it. He takes all this dense research, cognitive psychology, behavioral economics, you name it, and he finds the connecting thread. He makes it make sense for us.
Absolutely. His skill is translating that complex, sometimes dry academic stuff into really vivid, relatable human stories. He bridges the gap between the lab and, you know, real life.
Turns science into self-awareness.
Yeah.
I like that.
And his background, being a longtime science correspondent, educated in the U.S. but born in India, gives him this broader perspective, too. He looks at these universal human tendencies.
Okay, so the book itself, what's the absolute core idea?
The central thesis is basically that consciousness, the part of you that's listening right now, is just the surface.
The narrator, as he calls it sometimes.
Exactly. The real action, the vast majority of the processing, happens beneath the surface in this hidden brain, running on autopilot using shortcuts, biases, ingrained evolutionary responses.
And it's this weird duality, isn't it? This hidden brain is both amazing and, well, kind of dangerous.
Precisely. It's our greatest asset because it allows for that rapid fire decision making we need for survival, like slamming on the brakes. You don't consciously calculate that.
Goodness.
But it's also our biggest liability because those same automatic programs develop for a much simpler world.
Like ancient hunter-gatherer times.
They just don't work well in our complex modern society. They lead to systematic mistakes, prejudice, groupthink, all sorts of problems.
So the book is really trying to tear down this idea that we're purely rational beings.
Completely. It shows how these unconscious forces shape everything. Moral choices, political divides, even just, you know, who you sit next to on the bus.
All right, let's dive into some examples. He uses some really powerful stories. You mentioned the two systems, conscious and automatic.
Yeah, the conscious one is slow, deliberate, takes effort. The automatic one, fast, intuitive, effortless. And often surprisingly wise.
Which brings us to that Man Gulch fire story. 1949, right?
Yeah, 1949. It's a tragic but incredible example. This elite team of smoke jumpers gets trapped by a wildfire that just explodes.
And most of them, they follow their training, their conscious plan, run uphill, try to outpace the flames.
Right, but they couldn't. The fire was moving too fast. They died.
Except the foreman. Wag Dodge.
Except Dodge. He does something totally counterintuitive. Against all training, he stops.
Stops? In front of a raging fire?
Stops. Lights another fire in front of him, burning away the fuel in a small patch. Then he lies down in the ashes as the main fire sweeps over him.
Wow. And it worked.
It worked. His hidden brain, in that split second, generated this completely novel solution that his conscious, trained mind would never have come up with. It saved his life.
Incredible illustration of that intuitive power. But then there's the flip side.
Right. The same rapid processing is also the source of our biases. Vedantam makes a really important point here. Bias isn't necessarily malice.
It's not about being a bad person.
No. It's more like an automatic sorting mechanism.
Yeah.
The hidden brain evolved to quickly categorize us versus them, safe versus dangerous. It's about efficiency, originally for survival.
Okay, but how do we even know these biases exist if they're unconscious? That's where the IAT comes in.
Like... Exactly. The implicit association test. It's a key piece of evidence. This test reliably shows that even people who genuinely believe in equality, who consciously reject prejudice.
Like, really believe it?
Still hold these hidden automatic biases based on things like race, gender, age, you name it. The cultural programming runs deep outside our awareness.
So basically, good intentions aren't enough.
Not nearly enough. And this ties into heuristics, those mental shortcuts. They're generally useful, but they have downsides.
Like stereotype threat. That one's really disturbing.
It is. The idea is that simply being reminded of a negative stereotype about a group you belong to.
Like before taking a test.
Can actually trigger unconscious processes that impair your performance on that very test. It makes the stereotype kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's wild. So can you fight it? Can you consciously override your IAT results or stereotype threat?
Vedantam suggests individual willpower alone is pretty weak against these deep-seated processes. It's less about trying harder not to be biased.
Because that can backfire, right? Like the don't think of a white bear thing.
Exactly. The ironic process theory. Trying to suppress a thought makes it stronger. The solution seems to be more about changing the system or the environment so the bias doesn't have a chance to operate. We can talk more about that later.
Okay. So moving from the individual mind to how we interact... Social influence, that's huge in the book, too.
Oh, massive. We are profoundly social creatures. Our hidden brains are constantly scanning others for cues about how to think, feel, and act.
Which can lead to really bad outcomes in emergencies, the bystander effect.
Right, or pluralistic ignorance. That's the really strange one where, say, in an emergency, everyone is privately worried.
But they look around, see nobody else panicking.
And assume, oh, maybe it's not serious because I think everyone else is calm and accepts the situation, so nobody acts.
Even though everyone is actually thinking, uh-oh, something's wrong.
Precisely. He mentions examples like the initial inaction in some 9/11 stairwells or the classic tragic Kitty Genovese case. People freeze, paralyzed by the group's apparent calm, even when their own senses scream danger. The social cue overrides personal judgment.
It's like our conformist instinct goes haywire.
Yeah. And then there's the emotional side, how our hidden brain deals with morality and ethics.
We like to think we're logical decision makers.
But Vedantam shows emotion consistently trumps logic. Think about the identifiable victim effect.
Ah, yeah. This single child story versus the statistics.
Right. Why does one specific named child suffering move us to donate huge amounts while statistics about millions dying from the same cause leave us relatively cold?
Because the hidden brain responds to stories, faces, emotions, not abstract numbers.
Exactly. It's wired for the personal, the concrete. And this leads to the idea of post hoc justification.
Meaning we decide first, then figure out the reason later.
Pretty much. Often our moral judgments pop up automatically, intuitively, emotionally, from the gut.
And then our conscious mind, the narrator,
steps in afterwards and constructs a perfectly logical sounding reason for why we made that rational choice, even though the choice was already made unconsciously.
Like a press secretary spinning the decision after the fact.
That's a perfect analogy. It's quite sobering when you realize how often that happens.
It really is. Okay, so let's pull back. If we synthesize all this, what are the main themes, the big messages Vedantam wants us to take away?
Well, theme one has to be the primacy of unconscious processing. Just accepting that most of our mental life is happening automatically beneath the surface, our feeling of conscious control, often an illusion.
That's a big pill to swallow. Okay, what else?
Theme two, the universality and invisibility of bias. We need to stop thinking of bias as some kind of moral defect found only in bad people.
Right. It's like you said, a feature, not a bug, part of the basic operating system.
Exactly. It's a consequence of how our brains work efficiently. And trying to just suppress it, like that white bear problem, often makes it worse.
Okay. Beam three.
The mismatch. Our hidden brain's instincts evolved for a very different world. Small tribes, immediate threats. They're just not well suited for complex, global, modern problems.
That's why it's so hard to get worked up about abstract threats like climate change or, you know, long-term financial risk. Our gut doesn't register it like it would a tiger in the bushes.
Precisely. Our wiring prefers immediate stories, identifiable threats, not statistical probabilities or long-term trends.
Which leads to the fourth theme, I guess.
Which is the need for systemic solutions. If we can't easily change our faulty wiring or just will ourselves to be unbiased,
then we need to change the environment.
Yes. We have to design systems, processes, institutions that account for the hidden brains, quirks, build guardrails, basically.
It makes sense. You know, some of the lines in the book just really nail these ideas.
Oh, definitely. There are some very quotable moments that capture the essence.
Like the one challenging our self-image as rational thinkers.
Yeah. We are not the rational calculating machines. We are predictably irrational.
Predictably irrational. I love that. It means our flaws aren't random. They follow patterns.
Exactly. Which means we can study them, understand them, and maybe even design around them.
And the one about the hidden brain itself. Not good or bad.
Right. The hidden brain is neither good nor bad. Like a knife, it is a tool that can be used constructively or destructively. It's all about awareness and how we use that powerful unconscious tool.
Okay, and my favorite, the one about consciousness being the narrator.
Yes. Consciousness is a narrator that believes its own story, even when that story is wrong. That just perfectly captures the post hoc rationalization thing. Our conscious mind tidies everything up into a neat narrative, true or not.
So powerful. Okay, let's make this practical. How can listeners actually use these insights day to day?
Well, on a personal level, maybe start by challenging your own narrative. That's a big one.
Oh, so?
Like, next time you have a really strong instant gut reaction to someone or a situation, just pause for a second. Ask yourself, is this feeling based on real evidence, or is my hidden brain just running an old, potentially flawed shortcut?
Just introducing that moment of doubt, that check-in.
Exactly. Slow down the automatic process just a bit. Professionally, the implications for things like hiring are huge.
Right. The argument for structured blind process.
Definitely. Vedantam highlights the success of things like blind auditions for orchestras, when they put up a screen so judges couldn't see the musician.
Suddenly, way more women started getting hired.
Yeah, right.
Because the unconscious gender bias was removed from the equation?
Precisely. So applying that principle, use standardized interview questions, maybe review resumes with identifying information removed initially, anything to reduce the impact of those hidden biases.
And on a bigger scale. Policy-wise.
That connects to the idea of nudging, since our hidden brains often just default to the easiest option.
Because it takes less effort.
We can design systems where the best choice is the default choice, like automatically enrolling employees in retirement savings plans. People can opt out, but the default helps them overcome that bias towards immediate gratification.
Making it easy to do the right thing.
However.
So wrapping up, what's the big final thought here? For me, it really comes down to intellectual humility.
Recognizing that we don't always know why we do what we do. Shifting from seeing bias as a personal moral failing to seeing it as just part of the human condition, a part that needs systemic checks, not just individual willpower.
Yeah, that really resonated with me too. What surprised me most, I think, was reading about social contagion. How things like moods, behaviors, even really extreme things like copycat suicides can spread through social networks almost like a virus.
It's unsettling, isn't it? It shows how deeply interconnected we are and how susceptible we are to subtle cues from our environment and the people around us.
Totally. But the ultimate message feels empowering somehow. By understanding these hidden forces, by making the invisible visible.
We gain some power back. We can start designing our lives, our workplaces, our societies in ways that acknowledge our mental limitations and hopefully lead to better outcomes, working with the hidden brain, not constantly fighting against it.
A powerful lens to view ourselves and the world. Hopefully this gave you all some food for thought.
We hope so. It's definitely a book that sticks with you.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.